All right, Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to maybe get to Mark. I know I've been preaching through Mark, trying to get back there. In Mark 5, we'll try to do that again. Last week kind of got went on a little tangent to an area, and then today as well kind of seems to be that same. But in Hebrews chapter number 11, really going to kind of work off of that first verse and to kind of work through this and kind of use that as a template for the message today. Hebrews chapter 11. And in verse number 1, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I want to consider that today and work through that. You might say, oh, this is a very familiar passage, and it is. But hopefully today will be a blessing to you. We're going to be in a lot of scriptures today. Hopefully you can follow along, and it'll be a help to you in reference to faith. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. Thank you for what's been wrought already. We thank you for the camps, Lord, their ministry, and God, just the blessing that they've been to us and so many. And God, I do pray for them. I pray that you take care of their needs, God, and give them everything that, God, you deem necessary for them to be effective in helping churches that are just trying to get the truth out, Lord, to be able to put forth the sound so that when people do come, they can hear the word as it is preached. We thank you for them. We thank you for each one that's here today. Thank you for Carol, her family, God, each that are here. We thank you so much, God, for how you work in our lives and you bring us to different places like this. And I pray, dear God, that today would be a special day for all that are here. I pray that nothing would hinder us from hearing the word of God as it's preached today. I pray, Father, that you would speak to us by thy Holy Spirit. God, you know our needs. Lord, you know what we're dealing with all individually. And so, God, I pray that you'd meet the need of the hour with your word today. We thank you. We need you. We yield to you, God, and we ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in Hebrews 11. And like I said, you're going to, as we turn around, turn different places, you might want to just leave a marker there. We'll be back into Hebrews 11 quite frequently. I'm going to reference a passage over in Matthew 16, if you want to look there, Matthew 16. You know, faith is a belief that is based on the revelation of God, and it's not based on human reason. Faith is something that, you know, many people, they'll come to the Word of God and they'll want to understand it with, in a sense, just their own natural mind. And as logical, the word Bible is for the word book, but then you have the word word, and there's two Greek words that are actually translated. There's actually three, but two that are main for word in the Greek. One is logos and one is rhema. The word logos is the word that we get the word logic from. And so the Word of God is logical, amen? But truly the understanding of the Word of God is God wrought. It's the Holy Spirit that was given, it says in the book of John, to lead us and guide us in all truth. And we're not going to understand this book simply by human reason. Just by having an education, being literate in an English format, isn't going to enable you to really grasp what the message of this book is, amen? And I think oftentimes that's difficult because we don't want to jump into something that we're not fully aware of. Amen. But the reality is that you're never going to be fully aware of all that's found within this book. And we don't have to be because we trust the God behind this book. Amen. And that's what faith is. Faith isn't so much in our understanding of the word. It's faith in God. It's faith in his ability to deliver to us a perfect book. That pertains to all of our life and godliness, everything. We trust God's word, amen? But we trust God by faith, amen? And that's what faith is. It's not faith in our ability to understand it. It's not faith in man. It's faith in God. And so in Matthew 16, I'll show you this brought forth as Jesus was talking to the disciples there, and then specifically Peter. It says in Matthew 16:16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And of course, that was in reference to, you know, who do men say that I am? And something, you know, they would go on and say, different prophet, all that. And then he said, well, who say you that I am, right, to the disciples? And this is where Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, amen. And the reality is, if you've come to that conclusion in your life that Jesus Christ truly is who the Bible declares him to be, the Messiah, the one, Jesus, the deliverer, salvation, if you have come to the place that you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you didn't come to that position because you studied the Word of God in your own mind and in your own abilities as an individual, as a person. No, you've come to that conclusion because God revealed that to you. Amen. That's what faith is. I've almost cringed sometimes when I hear people say something like this. You know, the Muslims have to have more faith to believe some of the... No, they don't have faith. The Muslims don't have faith. So we'll say you have to have a lot of faith to jump out of an airplane. No, you don't have to have a lot of faith to jump out of an airplane. Amen. No, you have to have faith to believe God. You have to have faith to believe in the things of God. Simply working through something and having a system to where you're okay with this or okay with that isn't necessarily faith. It probably is just sight. You've studied this topic out enough, and you just, like for me, I'm perfectly fine having worked on airplanes the majority of my early life, 20 years. I was fine getting on broke airplanes and flying on broke airplanes to try to figure out what's wrong with them in flight. I was fine with that. You say, well, that's crazy. It is if you don't understand airplanes. But I spent a lot of time studying airplanes. I know about systems. It's not like a car. You got triple, quadruple redundancy almost every system in an airplane. So I was okay with having a broke system, knowing I got two or three backups I'm relying on. That was not by faith. That was all by sight. That was all I understood. I understand how they work. Does that make sense? And so it doesn't take faith to get on a broken airplane to fly that thing to figure out what's wrong with it when you know that there's plenty of systems in the background working, and I really don't need that broke system. Does that make sense? That's sight. That is not faith. Amen. That is me understanding and me becoming okay with something because I get it. That is not faith. That is sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is different than that. If you're lost today and you're thinking, I'll get saved when I understand God. I'll get saved when I fully get it, when I fully understand. In God's economy, understanding comes after faith. Understanding does not come first. Understanding comes second, or third, or fourth, or fifth. Faith comes first. Does that make sense? And this is what makes Christianity very interesting. And by the way, Christianity is not a religious system like Catholicism or something like that. No, it's really Christianity in essence. It truly is just faith in Christ. It's faith in a person. His name is Jesus Christ. And so in Matthew, where it says, "Whom say ye that I am?" And when Peter declared, "Thou art the Christ," then it was Christ that said, "Whoa, flesh and blood didn't tell you that. That wasn't somebody that told. That was God. God told you that." Amen. Because this is something that's revealed through the Word of God, and it's only able to be declared by faith. By the way, I haven't seen Jesus with my eyes of faith, but not my God-given, just fleshly eyeballs. I've not seen him yet. Now I'm looking forward to seeing him, but I haven't seen him yet. He hasn't appeared to me. When I was studying for this message, he didn't appear with me in the flesh. And I didn't have a talk with him in that way back. It wasn't like that. Amen. There's a relationship, but it's spiritual in nature. It's not fleshly in nature. It's not. And because of that, many people struggle with true Christianity. Look over at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Faith, our passage says in Hebrews, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance. That's the substantial part. That's the first part, amen? That's the part that's needed. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We are saved by grace, God's power, but it's through faith. No faith, no salvation. You see, the power is available. Grace is available. Jesus has already died on the cross. He's already done all the work necessary. All the power is there needed to save every soul that's ever been conceived. What hinders it? Faith. Our belief in him, amen? That's what hinders people from being saved. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. This is very interesting. Hoped means to have confidence in or to trust. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Whose faith? Other people's faith. You know, God calls us to testify of what he's done in our lives so that others have evidence of that faith. it will help them to have faith. Amen? Very important. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Now, how was Paul so persuaded? You say, well, he did see Jesus. No doubt that Damascus experience, the bright light, the voice from heaven, all of that, very, very, very compelling. But Paul believed by faith. He believed that voice from heaven. He believed in Christ. He believed in what he was given. And he was confident in this. Amen. Verse 13 says, "Based on that faith, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." All of you that are here, especially the young people that have been preached the gospel message, maybe sat in a bunch of gospel tent meetings and all that and seen all these different things happen and everything. These are wonderful things. We all individually, though, need to call on Christ and believe ourselves. Amen. But what you have around you is a bunch of evidence. Something compelled me to walk away from a career that I had planned to be in all my life. Amen. Not all my life, at least for my latter years of high school, and put a lot of effort into that thing, amen, getting my license, different things to work on airplanes and securing a job and all that. Something called me away from that. Say, what was that? It was God, amen. And by faith, I received that message of salvation, and by faith, I received the fact that God had something else for me to do. Otherwise, my flesh has fought against that decision. My flesh has not liked that decision all that much, amen. You say, why do you do it? Because I know. I know God called me to it. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, amen. We even have the conversation with Brother Kim. Say, why do you do what you do? Because I know God called me to it. Is it easy? Rarely. Rarely, amen. But I know. I know. So how do you know? I know. I just know. By the word of God and by that spirit of God within me, I know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I knew that time when I was to be saved. I knew that was the moment. It was time to call on Jesus Christ and repent of my sin. I knew. How'd you know? By faith. I just believed God. God was calling me to it. And if you're saved today, there was a moment and a time in your life where you saw Jesus Christ truly as the Son of God hanging on the cross for you, shedding his blood, going in the grave and rising from the dead. Amen. You saw that as legitimate and real and needed for you, amen. And when that connection was made, God gave you everything you needed right then to believe that that's true. Now, could you stand up on a debate stage and debate that with carnal reasoning and come away from there not being laughed at? Probably not. Probably not. Because God leaves enough realm of possibility for doubt that all skeptics will stay lost. Because it's not a work of man. It's not me convincing me. It's not man convincing man. It's a demonstration, Paul said, of the spirit and of power. That's what a lot of people really, really run to those really good orators, amen. Those people that they could, you know, these salesmen almost, you know, that could sell an Eskimo a popsicle stick or something, you know, some ice cream, you know, they're up there freezing, you know, when they're buying ice cream. Some preacher that way, they could sell you anything, but we're not looking for man to sell us something. Amen. We're looking for people just to preach the unadulterated word of God, because what we're after is a work of the spirit, not a work of man. You see, look over at Romans chapter number 8. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, that to have confidence in. People need something to trust today. People need something that they could just rest their life in. And everybody's looking for something that they understand that they'll rest in, but that will never satisfy. The only thing that'll ever satisfy that hole in your soul, if you will, that thing, that cavity there that needs filled with God, the only thing that will ever satisfy that is something that God can give you. And he's not going to give it to you through man's resources. He's going to give it to you through his resource, which is the Word of God. And you're only going to get it by faith. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 says, "For we are saved by hope." That's interesting. This all kind of interlinks. But hope that is seen is not hope. That's interesting. It says we're saved by hope. But hope that's seen is not hope. It says, "For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." And we're looking forward to the day that we see Christ and we see salvation fully realized, right? To with the adoption, Romans 8 talks about, to with the redemption of our flesh. We're looking forward to that day. But the hope I have is not a hope based on sight. It's a hope based on the declaration of God. I believe God. I believe the promises of God. And that's what it takes to have faith. There will always be carnal reason to doubt and to be a skeptic. You're always going to find that. I'm dealing with someone now, just trying to work with them, who quote unquote was a pastor for a time, now is not, has forsaken Christianity and all that. I'm dealing with him. This is it right here. He wants to be able to believe everything by his own sight, by his own reason, by his own understanding. You'll never come to the truth that way. And I get it. I get you need to understand. You need to come to the truth. But ultimately, what's going to connect the dots for you isn't that you get it. You'll just get it because God gave it, not because you got it. It's hard to explain, but that's just the way it is. Amen? Christianity is not a work of man. It is a work of God. Look over at Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Jesus actually, in talking with the Jews, and can I say the Jews are well versed in the scriptures. They know their Old Testament scriptures very, 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 very well. Can I say, as you're turning over to Matthew 13, your flesh does not want you to believe in God. Remember, in our flesh dwells sin. And all our sin wants to do, or all our flesh wants to do is sin. All of our flesh wants to do is satisfy its own lusts. That's what flesh does. Flesh is carnal, carnally minded. To be carnally minded is death. Well, your flesh is never going to be happy with the amount of evidence you found for you to be saved. If you're a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit, if you were to take a vote in yourself, hey, should we be saved or not? Your flesh would always be a no vote. Now, your flesh would be a yes vote for religion if that religion feeds the flesh, but your flesh will always be a no vote for true God-wrought salvation. Matthew 13, verse 13. Jesus said this to these religious people in his day. He said, "Therefore speak I to them," referring to the Pharisees, Sadducees, the Zealots. "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not." Did you ever hear that old expression? I couldn't see the forest because the trees were in the way. I want you to think about that for a second. I just couldn't see the forest because all them trees were in the way. That's mankind trying to understand the Word of God without the Spirit of God. That's mankind trying to understand the Bible on their own. You see? So Jesus said he spoke to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, "By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive." For this people's heart, always goes back to the heart, they're hard-hearted. "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." Just with the Kimps here and all that, kind of brings you back to the tent time frame and all that, amen? It's amazing how hard it is to get certain people to the tent. There's some people that become allergic to tents about the time of September, amen? Man, I can't go there because all that vinyl, man, I'm allergic to it. You ain't allergic to the vinyl. It's your flesh that doesn't want you there. Because if I go there, man, that message, it might be a little compelling. The Spirit of God might be moving a little too much, amen. And I don't, so your flesh works overtime to find reasons not to be there. Same thing for church. Why do a lot of people miss church? Well, oh, no, bad timing. No, I got other things to do. No, I don't feel real good. Would you go to work if you felt about what you feel right now? Oh, absolutely. I need to earn a living. You see, but our flesh is constantly fighting against us being under the preaching of the Word of God. That's what our flesh does. And it says here, and even when we are under it, our flesh then fights us and tries to distract us. It starts thinking about dinner, amen. Starts thinking about other things. Mind starts wondering about this post and that post and about the work. What is that? That is the mind of your flesh trying to distract you from you hearing the Word of God. The only way you'll get something out of the message today is if you're interested. And so interested spiritually that you tell your flesh to shut up, amen, and to get lost. The only way. Matter of fact, you don't need to raise your hand, but if I was to say, who here this week honestly studied your Bible? Let me ask it to you this way. Who here has needs that you know you could be helped through the knowledge of the Word of God? Anybody like that? You know you have needs that you could be helped. Absolutely, hands all over. But the same vein of question, who here studied their Bible concerning those things this week? I guarantee you there would only be maybe one or two of all those hands that just went up, maybe only one or two that would raise a hand. Why? Because study is a weariness to the flesh, the Bible says, and your flesh fights it. My flesh, we fight it. We'll find anything else in the world to do other than it. I mean, it is beyond last resort, me sitting down and studying that book. And yet we would all say we need it. And it's because we let our flesh control our lives. But here's the problem. That absolutely speaks against our faith in God. Absolutely speaks against it. The title of the message today is Faith is the Evidence. Faith is the evidence. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is proof. People like me, who seemingly had their whole life upended for nothing more than, I just believe God wants me to do this based on the Word of God. I don't even feel like I'm good at what I do as a preacher or whatever. But I know God's called me to it. So that's why I do what I do. People like me and you that have that testimony, we are the evidence that this world needs to be born again, a changed life for the cause of Christ, for no other reason than God did it. That faith is the evidence. It is the proof. The Muslims' belief in Allah and Muhammad is not faith. There are not other faiths. There is one faith. It even says so in Ephesians chapter 4. There is one faith. The Muslims do not have faith. Islam is a carnal religion that seeks worldly control, dominance, wealth, and power. That's what they are. The whole religion is based on submission. That's what the word actually means. Their whole religion is based on submission to a worldly authority with a God, small g, used as a fear tactic to incite worldly submission. That's all it is. It's just a control tactic. That's all Islam is. And the guys at the top with their millions of wives are sitting there on the backs of the others, just absolutely living it up, while everybody else is just totally abused and set to the side. And if you don't conform, we're going to lop your head off. Now, you tell me that's faith. You tell me those that follow that are walking and living by faith. They ain't. They're living in fear. Christianity isn't about fear. It's about faith. It's about faith. Catholicism. I came out of Catholicism. Catholicism is not based on faith. Catholicism is a worldly religious system meant to gain power, wealth, and control and world dominance. The Pope is the only religious figure that has a seat on the UN. The United Nations. He is a national head and has been involved. The office of the Pope has been involved in every world war and will be involved in the next one. Amen. Catholicism is not about faith in God. It is about submission to the leaders without question. I remember talking to my grandma, staunch Catholic. And I'd show her the scriptures. Say, Grandma, I'm sorry, but Mary had more children than Jesus. No. Show her the scripture in John. Right there. Joseph, naming them off. Right there. She says, that can't mean what it looks like it says. Dana was, we had this conversation at her kitchen table. I said, why not? It can't mean that. I'll have to ask my priest. What she was involved in was not faith. Do you see the difference? Faith is a belief in the God of this Bible. He wants us to have a personal relationship with him. He doesn't want us to be under some system that holds us down. He says he came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. He didn't come to put us in subjection to a system. He didn't come to put us in bondage. He came to set us free from bondage. Amen. It's about faith. It's not about fear and coercion. That's what all other religions have. That's not true Christianity. It's all about fear. And people run from what I'm preaching because you're going to have to tell your flesh no, because your flesh is a part of the problem. And if you follow the works of the flesh, you'll get exactly what Galatians says you'll get. But if you by faith will just believe the God of this book, then you'll be set at liberty. And so in all over the world, there are people, not just here, all over, that simply just believe in Jesus Christ. My faith is in a person, not in a system. My faith is not based on coercion or pressure to conform or anything else. It's by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. I've been convinced in the veracity of the gospel message. And that's why I stand here today. Amen. I was born a sinner. I was a sinner by birth. I was a sinner by choice. I realized by the Word of God that my sin has a consequence and that I could do nothing to better my position. All of mankind lost and undone, God looked and saw and said, I have a solution. His name is Jesus Christ, my Son. And he sent his Son to die on the cross, the perfect man, 100% God, 100% man, never sinned one time, hung on the cross, shed his blood. I actually just heard this, and I thought this was really neat. Do you know that it was impossible for Jesus to die on the cross until he became sin? Because it's the wages of sin that's death. Jesus could not die when he was sinless. Adam and Eve could not die until they sinned. It's the wages of sin. There can't be death before sin. The wage, what comes as a byproduct of sin is death. They could have done everything physically possible to Jesus on that cross, and he could not have died until he became sin for us who knew no sin. He couldn't die. But when he took on all of mankind's sin upon him, past, present, future, it was at that point now it was finished. It was everything that needed to happen. Now he, as that perfect Lamb of God sacrifice, was ready as he bore the sin. Not just bearing the sin, but became sin for us so that he could die in our place. He went in the grave, made a deposit of sin in hell, praise God. I don't have to go there because he already took my sin there, amen. He left it there. He rose from the dead, hallelujah, declared victory over sin. death, and sin. And he couldn't have left there unless he left that and was no longer sin before he left. He went into the depths of the grave, amen. He took on that righteousness, left sin there, and rose from the grave, declaring that has no power on me. And it's at that point he came, gathered up his blood, went up to the mercy seat of the throne room of God in heaven, made a deposit there, made a sprinkling of his blood there, and that expiation of our sin took place. And now all of us that by faith believe in his finished work enter into his righteousness through a doctrine called imputation, where his record now becomes my record. His record's imputed now to my account, that record of righteousness. I'm not saved by works of righteousness, which I've done. I'm saved by faith in believing in the work that he has done. Regardless of a religious system, regardless of anything else, my faith is personal with God, the God of the universe, amen, who sent Jesus Christ. It's not because of religion. It's because of Jesus. Religion keeps a lot of people from Jesus. I had to undo a lot of things I thought I believed to get saved. It took me 2 years to wade through all the garbage that I had been taught. And I had never heard the true gospel one time. But I've been taught enough garbage. It all needed to be undone so the simplistic message of the gospel could be given. And I don't know where you're at today, but I know this. If you're saved one way, and it's by faith. Faith alone in Jesus Christ. There is no religious system that can give you anything. There is no person on earth alive today that can give you salvation. I can't give it to you. No one here can give it to you, but I know how you can get it. By the word of God, through by grace through faith. That's the only way you're going to get it. You say, I want to get to where I really understand it. You're never going to really understand it. But as you study it, you'll get to the place where you just believe it. I know that is right. Say, what will keep me from it? Your flesh and you not wanting to believe because of what you know it'll mean for your life. I like my alcohol too much. I like my drugs too much. I like my promiscuity too much. I like my fornication too much. I like my filthy mouth too much. I like this too much. I like that too much. Your flesh hates true salvation. And that's what will keep you from salvation right there is your flesh, and you know it. You say, well, then if I get saved, do I have to follow a bunch of rules? Nope, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. No, once you get saved, it's not about keeping rules. It's just about enjoying your relationship with Jesus Christ, who, by the way, will work on your life to conform you to his image. Say, see, I'm going to have to become like Christ. No, you don't have to anything. After you get saved, there's no have to about it. You see, once you get saved, you're made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The reason Christians begin to take on the image of their Savior is because they've been changed. They've been transformed. Amen. And now God's power is implanted upon you as a child of God, and you begin to become like your Father. Amen? That's what salvation is all about. You've been delivered. You've been delivered from flesh, your flesh, sin, hell, and the grave. You've been delivered from sin. You've been delivered, and now you'll walk in it. We walk by faith and not by sight. And as you walk in it, you will take on the image of your Savior. Look over at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Mentioned from our text that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I didn't become who I am today by following rules. I didn't come to this place in my Christianity because I've been trying to check off some checklist, amen. All I've simply done is sought to know my Savior. Just to jump into the Word of God and enjoy the Word of God because it talks of my Savior. And just love him enough to want to know him more. Which, by the way, God, I can only love him because he first loved me. And as he's loved me, it's put in my heart the desire to reciprocate that love. And as that desire is there to reciprocate, you know, you like to be with those that love you. You don't want to be around those that hate you. but you sure do like to be with those that love you. And so as God has loved me, I have felt a compulsion to love him in return. And it drives me to the Word of God to know him better. And the more I'm driven to the Word of God to know him better, the more I become like him. It's not because I'm trying to follow the 1500th rule in the Christian rule book. It's not a system. It's a relationship, you see, by faith. 1 John 5, verse 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God." If you're a Christian, you can say, that's me. I'm a whatsoever right there. I'm a whosoever, and I'm a whatsoever. Amen? Right here. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Is that what it says? That's what it says. "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" No carnal religious system in there at all. No coercion, no carrot, no trying to do something because I feel like I have to. You don't have to do anything in your Christianity. Go ahead and sit there like a bump on a log. Go ahead. Do nothing. And if you can get away with that, if that's the level of relationship you have with God, I doubt your faith. Because when I believed God, it started something in my life that never ended. It's not just I serve God whenever I'm not having a weak moment. No, God changed me. And by faith, God will change you too. And if you're born again, that's already starting to happen. And if it's not happening and your flesh totally controls your Christian life, something's wrong. I ask you this, where is your faith? Where do you believe God? Do you believe, has the evidence been strong enough for you to let go of all those other things that are out there that fuel that flesh? Is that evidence there where you'll just believe, trust God? Believe in God. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of faith not seen. Look back at Matthew 13 very quickly. Matthew 13. A couple things here. We'll be finished for the morning. Matthew 15. I'm sorry, Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 54. "And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother's his mother called Mary, and his brother and James and Joseph and Simon and Judas?" There's his brothers and sister. "And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. "But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, in his own house." It says, "And he did not many mighty works there because of his unbelief," because of their unbelief. Do you know why God isn't doing a lot of mighty works in people's lives today? They're unbelievers. They say they believe, but it's lip service. They say they have faith, but all this is for is to be able to come to church with so you look spiritual. Where's the open books today? Where's the studying of the scriptures today? If you love Jesus so much, where's your reciprocation of that love and wanting to know him? If you're married to someone, you say to them, "I love you," but you never want to be around them. You never want to communicate with them. You never want to have a conversation with them except when you have to. We would say something's missing in that relationship, wouldn't we? Can I say that is so true with God? If all this is to you is something that you pile stuff on your nightstand until it's time for church, like, "Oh man, can we get all this stuff off there real quick so I can get that thing ready for church?" If that's all your Bible is to you, I'm telling you, something's missing. Something's missing. And that's why there's no mighty works being done in your life. Because there's no faith. There's no insatiable desire. See, everybody wants their problems fixed. Nobody wants to go to the source that fixes those problems. Everybody wants it done the easy way. I can't handle that. I'm sure you can't. How am I going to get some help? Oh, I got an idea. His name's Jesus. Amen. Oh, yeah, I don't got time for that. I got real problems in my life. You know what? And I got a real solution. But it'll only happen if you really believe. You see, when times get tough, when things get hard, it really does show us who or what we believe in. I'll just close giving you this thought. In Mark chapter 5, it's so awesome. Hopefully I can preach it next week or something in reference to the different things that Jesus went and the different ones he talked to. But he came across a man who was a leader of a synagogue. And this leader of a synagogue, it's in Mark chapter 5. I'm not going to read the text, but it's in Mark chapter number 5, a ruler of a synagogue, in verses 35 through 43. And this leader of the synagogue had a big issue. His daughter was home dying. That's a big issue. 12 years old is what the Bible declares. She'll her to be later on when Jesus heals her. The leader of the synagogue, have I said that? Leader of the synagogue. A synagogue is Judaism would be the religion, right? Judaism with the Old Testament scriptures, all he is highly religious, but he's got an issue. His daughter is dying. And this is what he comes to realize. My religion can't fix this. And so he heard of this one named Jesus, but you know, the Jews aren't real fond of him, right? And so this ruler, he got so overwhelmed with the reality that this problem needs fixed, he put aside what the others would think of him, if he would even lose his position and every other ramification. He put all of that aside and he said this, I have to get to Jesus. And he did. What's funny about this, maybe we'll look at it later, is he tells Jesus, and there's some great things there. And so Jesus challenges him, and he says, be not afraid, only believe. So he tells him. And so then they're on their way, they're walking to the house, and some woman comes in, interrupts him, and I can't imagine, he's thinking, get out of here, we got to get to the house over there, my daughter's dying. So Jesus spends time and deals with her. And then he actually gets home, and he gets there, and he tells them why they're there, and the people start laughing at him. Say, you're too late. Your daughter's already dead. I don't know why you'd laugh at somebody when your daughter just died, but they do. They laugh at him and said, don't bother the master anymore. Sorry, your daughter's dead. And so Jesus will then tell them, he says, put them all out, and it was just the man and his wife and a couple of disciples will go in, and of course she's healed. But that man, in order to receive that power of God, think about all the odds, all the different opportunities he had to walk away. His religion said, don't go to Jesus. His friends said, Jesus, he can't help you. His friends laughed at him. The friend said, get over it, your daughter's dead, just accept it. Everyone laughed at him. And he said, no, I'm just going to believe. And because he said, I'm just going to believe, that faith became active. And that supernatural power became natural and healed her. See, and that's where we're at today. Everybody wants that supernatural power of God. Most people aren't willing to tap into it by faith. Because to tap into it by faith means I have to say no to my biggest enemy of my faith, and that's my flesh. Because my flesh wants to be worldly. My flesh wants the people of the world to like me. My flesh wants to engage in all this craziness and wickedness going on around the world. And as long as that's true, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I ask this question today very quickly. How's your faith? Look around. There's a lot of evidence. Faith has evidence to it. It's an evidence in people like myself and others. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not. Amen. But I know this. God has transformed my life. And anybody that knew me before, I mean, there aren't many people around that know me anymore, amen, that could say that. But you know as well as I do that there are people around you, whether it's me or somebody else, that God has absolutely transformed their life. I ask you this question. Why hasn't he transformed yours? Why are you still like you are and stuck in the mud and spinning your wheels? You say you believe, but do you? Is it just a religion to you? Just a bunch of nice people, community. We were knocking on a door yesterday, and they were talking to a guy. And he says, you know, there's good community at church. Yep, good. Y'all are good. Good community, good people. As good as y'all are, all of your goodnesses combined together could do nothing to help my sinful condition. I love y'all. You're not what God gave for us to be delivered. So I just simply ask you this. If you look around and you see others that seemingly have victory and have had victory over what you're dealing with, why not you? God's not a respecter of persons. I'm no better than anybody else. We're all on equal ground. So if you've been stuck in a case for a while and you've never experienced victory, why not? I'll tell you why. Your flesh. And you love the things of your flesh more than you love God. And so that's where you migrate to. And you open up that stuff, but you never open up this stuff. Because this is the source of faith. Isn't that crazy? And so I don't know where you're at today, but I know this. The evidence is all around you. If you want it, it's available. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good report. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For they that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah built a big boat. Amen. By faith, Abraham sought a country whose builder and maker was God. By faith, where's your faith? Because if you have faith, there will be a corresponding transformative power that's supernatural that you can't miss. Amen. God, thank you, Lord, for this day. And I thank you, God, for the time together in your word. I'm so thankful for faith, God, that you have given to us, not because we see it, not because we understand it with our carnal eyes, with our natural reasoning, but because, God, in the word of God, you said that if we would come to you, you wouldn't cast us out. God, if we would just come believing that, God, that you would transform us, you'd make us a new creature. And all over the place, people are trying to figure you out in a natural realm, but it's impossible, God. You are supernatural in nature, and yet you want to have a relationship with us, but it's only active by faith. God, help us today. I feel a little scattered a little bit this morning, but I just trust, God, that your word's gone forth and that, God, you'll use it to help each one here today. And so, God, I pray in this invitation time that, God, that you would challenge each of us, Lord. And if there's people here today that they claim to have something and that they've never seen any evidence of that power within them, God, I pray that they would challenge themselves today on where their faith is, and might they believe today in a rich, real, powerful way beyond what they ever have before, not in their own might, not in their own means, but by thine. Help them today, I pray, just to yield to you and let go of some things that might bring faith to their lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Heads, bowed, eyes closed just for a moment.